Well, BART isn't operating because of a strike. Healthcare.gov hasn't been operating properly because of glitches. It has been more than 2 weeks since the health insurance exchanges opened for enrollment as part of the Affordable Care Act. And 36 states decided not to set up their own exchanges. So in those states, the federal government's healthcare.gov is the main portal for people to sign up for coverage. But it is no secret the site has suffered from major technical glitches and an onslaught of users that made for a bumpy rollout. So what's happening now? NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner joins us from Washington. Julie, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Well, first of all, have these glitches been fixed?
Well, some have and some haven't. For most people, it does seem a lot easier to get on and easier to create an account. And federal officials created a shortcut so you can actually browse some of the plans without creating an account, although you can't really tell how much an individual plan will cost you because you have to create that account to find out if you're eligible for a subsidy, which would take down your premium. But while it's easier to get on, it still seems like people are having trouble completing that task of actually enrolling in a health plan. And even before that, doing some of the really nitty-gritty comparisons, like figuring out whether your specific doctors or your specific prescription drugs are covered by that particular plan. So it is still kind of glitchy there.
And Julie, is this just a case of people who have to wait maybe a day or two or a week or two to sign up, or are there bigger effects of these glitches?
Well, I think what the administration and supporters of the law are most worried about is that people will get discouraged and not come back. And I think they're particularly worried about young, healthy people getting discouraged because they need those young, healthy people to sign up in order for this whole thing to work. The people who are going to be most motivated to sign up, of course, are sicker people who haven't been able to get insurance before. Those people are going to be really motivated to come sign up. And the insurance companies are worried that if they only get sick people, that premiums will go up. So they need those young, healthy people. And, you know, there have been some data about big drop-offs in traffic. It's hard to know how real that is, whether some of that early big spikes in traffic were the same people trying again and again and again to get into the website. Meanwhile, there have been a lot of different reports about how long it might take to actually fix what's wrong with the website, whether it's a fundamental structural problem that could require it to actually be taken offline for a while, or whether it's something that could be sort of fixed on the fly, you know, doing maintenance at night, which is what's been going on up to now.
Do we know how many people have actually gotten through and signed up so far nationwide?
You know, we really don't. There's lots of estimates that have been floating around. There have been lows from about 20,000 people to highs of a couple of 100,000. Federal officials say they're not going to release any numbers until mid-November at the earliest. What we do know is a couple of things. First of all, not that many people were expected to sign up in these early weeks, even if everything had gone, you know, absolutely smoothly. The AP got an internal memo from the Department of Health and Human Services that estimated that about 500,000 people were expected to enroll during the month of October. Most people expected October to be mostly a shopping month. Really, you know, people were supposed to get on and look and see what was out there. We also know that to actually become enrolled officially, you have to pay that first month's premium. None of these plans start until January, so nobody really expected people were going to shell out money in advance for something that doesn't start for another couple of months.
And is that the deadline? Is that the point at which people will have to either get insurance or face a penalty?
Not really. Now, if you want your insurance to start January 1st, you have to enroll by December 15th. If you want to avoid the penalty, this is the penalty for not having insurance, you actually have really until the end of March. But in order to have that insurance and avoid that penalty, you have to sign up by February 15th. Now, the open enrollment goes until the end of March. I know this is a lot of dates.
Yeah.
But that sort of the drop dead date, if you want to avoid the penalty to sign up, is February 15th. So it's December 15th if you want to have insurance by the start of the year. It's February 15th if you want to avoid that penalty.
Now, there are different exchanges in different states. There are some that are working better than others. What do we know about how the national healthcare.gov is working compared with some of the state sites that are out there?
Well, of course, it differs, too. And some of the state sites have had some of their own problems. I think Hawaii actually just got itself sort of up and running. Maryland, the state where I live, has had its own glitches. It's been sort of difficult to get on and then for people to finish the process. Some states have been running really pretty well. Kentucky's been one of those that's been a lot of people have pointed to as having been pretty glitch-free. So it depends where you live. I think it depends on sort of who built the site and how well they did. So it really does. This has not been unique to the federal site, which, again, some of it was a lot of traffic. But I think there are also now it's acknowledged that there have been software problems. Again, that's been sort of the same in the states. Some of the states, things have gone well, the states that are running their own websites, some of them not so well. But it does seem that, you know, as each day and each week has passed, some of the problems have been solved, not all of them. That seems to be fairly universal at this point.
I spoke to somebody who just signed up the other day in Massachusetts, did make it through right away, but it is not cheap, $450 a month.
Well, you know, it depends. It depends how old you are. It depends where you live. It depends what kind of plan that you get. And again, it depends what your income is, whether you're eligible for subsidy. Most of the people who are expected to be going to these exchanges will be eligible for some help. But remember, these are not generally plans. Most people are used to getting plans that are subsidized by their employer. These are not, by definition, employer-subsidized plans. So if you make over 400% of poverty, you're going to be paying for it on your own. You can expect to be paying more than perhaps you're used to paying if you're used to having an employer paying part of the freight.
NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.